Hey, what is up, guys? This is the Leafs Convo podcast for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. I'm Norm along with Mike. It is March 29th, 2020. We are in the throes of isolation and social distancing. COVID-19 has essentially taken over this planet, but we are fighting back one podcast at a time. Mr. Augello, long time no talk.
Good morning, Norm. Yeah, it's been a little bit, and it's a world that I don't think we expected to be in, and a world without sports, which I know there are many other things to be concerned about right now, but it's sort of you're going through withdrawal symptoms, like with myself, because you know I write about hockey every day and I watch sports every day, and it not being there and watching classic games on TV or watching, you know, EA Sports remakes of you know games that were supposed to happen, it just doesn't do it for me. So I'm jonesing.
You know what, in the past when the world got effed, sports didn't go to shit, but we have no sports to put our hopes and dreams into now. There's no outlet for us, so instead of contemporary sports, we dream of sports to come, and we look back on the sports that were. This is the Leafs Convo podcast. Norm, along with Mike, you have an article right now on hockeybuzz.com. Your insight into a Jonas Siegel versus Brendan Shanahan throwdown. We'll get to that in just a moment. I wanted to mention that the community portion of the Leafs Convo on YouTube is always open for business, guys. Let us know how you're feeling about where you're at right now, how you miss hockey. If you just want to vent, we are your outlet. Recent poll, where are you getting your hockey content from these days? 93 respondents, which is down, and that makes a lot of sense right now because there are a lot of people, Mike, who just don't give a shit about hockey or sports. Mm-hmm. It's about survival. It's about family. And we've seen a huge drop in listenership, but that's okay. I hope people are feeling all right, and we'll be here when they're ready to resume getting their hockey fix. Anyway, 93 respondents, 20% say they're getting their hockey content these days from podcasts, 1% from publications. And I think Hockey Buzz is more like a podcast. So you're safe in that regard, Mike, and you know that the numbers are still there. 38% say YouTube/television. 11% are consuming their hockey content and getting what they need in terms of hockey information from just about every medium, all sources. And here's the big one, and this goes this backs up what I was saying a couple of minutes ago. 30% are admitting that they're just not into hockey right now. Sorry, just not into it. And that makes hell of a lot of sense. Sign of the times, Mike.
Yeah, it's tough to be into something that's not there. And really, it's like, I mean, we would be prepping next weekend would have been the final weekend of the regular season. And
crazy.
We would have determined. Yeah, and exactly. It's like I'm still getting notifications on my phone because I have the Leafs calendar on my phone. You know, last night it was supposed to be the Leafs in Ottawa against the Senators. And
oh, that would have been a loss. That would have been a loss.
Yeah,
Connor Brown with a hat trick.
Nikita Zaitsev with four assists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, that's the whole thing. It's like, I mean, that's sort of a reminder of the game that was supposed to be there but isn't there, and a week from Tuesday or Wednesday would have been the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now the thing we have to be encouraged about is the NHL seems to be laying out, or at least hinting at, a July-August playoff scenario, because they sort of changed to that potential when the Olympics got postponed last week. And if you think about it, it's like, that's not, I mean, it's going to be a bitch for these buildings to keep the ice cold enough and good enough to play playoff hockey. But if that's the reality of what's going to have to happen, I actually think that will be successful. But right now it's just getting from point A, which is right now with no hockey and nothing to watch, to point B, when we're getting prepped for, you know, maybe a short regular season and then the playoffs. I mean, I'm looking forward to that, and I hope it actually happens.
Everything is a plan and a process. It's a conceptualization, Mike, but we can't circle any dates on the calendar and say,
right
at that point, it's go time.
Yeah, no, it's all fluid right now. I mean, even Gary Bettman will say that. It's all subject to availability of buildings and the CDC and the government of the United States and Canada approving, mass gatherings. I mean, if they have to play games with no people, then I think that, it'll be a product for
Sure.
television, but it won't be something that, wouldn't it be if the Leafs won a Stanley Cup and nobody was there, how did it actually happen? I mean, that's the problem. So, and right now, like areas like New York City, it's hard to imagine the ability to play games at Madison Square Garden, when it's the epicenter of the virus. Or, I mean, I even saw some piece yesterday about the Yankees playing games in Tampa at their either at their practice facility or at the Tampa Bay Rays building instead of Yankee Stadium if things continue to be as bad as they are in New York in the summer. So it's like we don't know, and they're sort of inability or hesitancy to not assign a specific date is because they don't know either.
When we're dealing with a feverish pandemic, for lack of a better term, is it necessary to try to continue with normalcy beyond going to get the necessities that you need, making sure that you have shelter, food, safety? Like the normal that we know may not be over forever, but for the foreseeable future.
Well, I think, I mean, obviously, from the league's perspective, they're thinking of it in a business sense, and obviously providing, and they're also thinking about their fans in the sense that, I mean, right now, how many people are sitting at home watching repeats of shows or watching stuff on Netflix and getting sick of it? It's like, I mean, I've been watching so much TV and watching repeats of Chicago PD and NCIS that I'm sick of it. We would crave, the real reality TV, which is sports, to be there, but obviously it can't be there right now. But even if it's in front of no fans, even if it's the Yankees playing in Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg instead of playing at Yankee Stadium, it's something for their fans to watch, and it's a distraction from the reality of things that are going on. So I think if it does come back, and it comes back in July or August or September, that people will welcome it with open arms. But obviously the focus right now is not on sports because I mean it's on things like just surviving this and just making sure that your family is taken care of, that they have enough food to eat, that people aren't driving each other crazy, and that's the most important thing.
A lot of people are on lockdown, self-lockdown in London, wanting to keep away from others, rightfully so. Makes sense. Not forever. I still have to go to work. We're deemed essential in my position as a sales consultant at Oak Ridge Fort. So we haven't shut down yet. I continue to go out. It's a tough one on a daily basis, right? Because I'm still out there grinding. And believe it or not, there are people who want to buy cars or at least entertain the possibility of doing so. It's a tough one, man, because you don't want to go out and contract something and bring it back to the family. The kids and my wife are here and in a safe place. I got to go out there and do that, then come back, and you're always putting people at risk. And I know there are others who are out there doing the same thing that I am, and I have crazy respect for those people. And then even beyond, way beyond that, first responders, people who are at grocery store tills, checking people in and out, making sure that people get their food, and then our doctors and nurses and the front line of this battle against the coronavirus. So much respect for all of you who are out there on a daily basis, grinding it out, attempting to live your life and help the lives of others.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. So Jonah Siegel and Brendan Shanahan had a conversation. You wrote about it. Before we started the podcast, your takeaway immediately was he was defensive. Is he upset that people are not pleased with the product the Leafs have put on the ice?
I mean, you have to realize, and the funny thing was that Shanahan referenced that last game against Tampa where they beat the Lightning 2-1 as, you know, a I mean, something that would leave a good taste in the fans' mouth because they played
Oh
a very
man.
responsible defensive game. But it's like you can't ignore the sort of roller coaster that has been going on with this team. I mean, you know, we have to realize they fired Babcock, so they had a coaching change. They lost their two best defensemen for long stretches, Riley and Muzzin. They were, you know, they had a 10 game point streak followed by, you know, a January and early February that was dreadful, and they come out of it at the very end when the league was shut down with a 1 point lead in third place in the Atlantic Division, which I think that everybody would say that's not living up to the expectations that they thought going into the season. And when, you know, Jonas Siegel asked some questions regarding, you know, where how the team was constructed and what the team is, and you know, we know that Kyle Dubas has, I think, absorbed some criticism, and I don't some of it I don't think is fair, but you know, his vision is a team high on skill, and that going into just before the deadline, they adjusted and added a gritty player like Kyle Clifford, which was much needed because this team doesn't really have that sort of grit and that sort of ability to play along the wall and to sort of push back against other teams. But one player does not, you know,
No,
I think make enough
a
of a
team
difference.
make.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that this team, let's just say they don't need like three or four, you know, quote, goons like Tom Wilson, but they do need to be able to push back. And I thought Shanahan, when he was responding to sort of the criticism of the way the team was inconsistent during the season, he did seem to me in his responses a little bit defensive. And I'm like, okay, I get that, you know, he's got a new contract. He's going to be here for a while. Dubas is going to be here for a while, no matter what the critics think. I think he's got a long rope of at least 3 years, because he's a young general manager, and they believe in the direction that they're going. But you have to say that this season, based on the direction that they're going and the way that this team has played, has underachieved. And the thing that we also have to factor in is we don't have, you know, the last chapter of this book. The last chapter is the playoffs and how they did. If they won a round in this playoff, and then I think that people would have said, okay, they're going in the right direction. If they lost in the first round to Tampa Bay or Boston, whoever they played, then there would be a lot of criticism of Shanahan and Dubas and the way that this team has been put together. But we don't know what that's going to be, and we may not know that what that is going to be until September or October.
Why aren't the Leafs better than Tampa? Why aren't they better than Boston? And why aren't they even in the same stratosphere as these teams? Why are they so far away from that level still? Don't give me this bullshit about, well, wait till the playoffs start. No.
No.
Why isn't this team the best in the league?
Teams that are good enough to win the Stanley Cup play that way all year. They don't turn it on in the third week of March and decide, oh, we're going to play responsible. Honestly, I look at, if you look at the four leading contenders, and I would say Boston, Tampa, Washington, and St. Louis in the West. I'm sure there are other teams. If you look at all four of those teams, what is the commonality? They're deep and have lots of quality
I know.
on defense. You know, getting scoring, you know, I'm not saying it's easy, and when you can't score like a team like Dallas, you're craving offense. But when you have offense, you have to counter that with defense. And that I think is the problem with the Leafs, is that their defense over the last 2 or 3 years has been below average. I think the signing of the acquisition of Muzzin and the signing of Muzzin, it was a positive step. But now you only have 2 more years of Morgan Rielly before he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And with the uncertain fiscal situation with the league, more than likely the cap is not going to go up, so they're not going to be able to go out and spend tons of money to acquire defensemen. So, I mean, it's going to be a challenge for Kyle Dubas going forward to improve that defense to the level of those other teams.
When you're the third wheel in the division and or fighting for a wild card spot, don't get upset with me because I'm not jumping for joy. I'm expecting a lot more from this team. You've got one of the top goal scorers in the league, a generational talent in Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, one of the most talented guys you're going to see on the ice. Mr. Contract, William Nylander, you know, playing up to credible value right now. Why aren't you better? It's because those guys are good, but not good enough. They need other things, other aspects. And this concept of playing Olympic style hockey, shinny hockey, and that, you know, the rest of the league will eventually succumb to the Maple Leaf skill is absolutely ridiculous. And Brendan Shanahan knows that. He's not going to turn around and point the finger at his general manager because he's the one who hired him. Removing the old guard for the new guard. And he's got to ride shotgun with this kid. And he, you know, in the end, there could be success, but there is absolutely no way that the game plan that these guys have laid out today will be the one that is executed to ultimate success down the line. There will be alterations. There will be amendments. There will be a coming of age and an about face.
Okay. Well, Shanahan, I mean, in the interview, you know, Siegel referenced Shanahan's success with the Detroit Red Wings as a player and how that team had high-level skill like Larionov and Fedorov and Yzerman and Lidstrom, but also had the Darren McCartys and the Chris Drapers, the sort of gritty sandpaper guys. And he sort of like pushed that off saying, you know, that was 23 years ago and the league is different. The league is not as different as you think, because St. Louis, Washington, Boston, Tampa can all play that two-way game, can play offense wide open, and can play sandpaper. So I think that, again, that's a little bit sort of – I think he realizes that, but I think he realizes that this team is not in the place right now where they can play that game, and it's a matter of time before they get to where they can play that type of game.
We are getting heated, and we have no clue when play will actually heat up again. We have more important things to deal with in the meantime, and we will deal with them, and we'll get through this together. Just a few forgotten Leafs, Mike, and then we'll get out of here. So this guy played for the Leafs in the late 80s, total of 70 games. He picked up a paltry 2 goals, 3 assists over that time, but 107 penalty minutes, 1 season with the Maple Brothers. He was the valet for one of the greatest superstars in the history of sports before he joined the Maple Leafs. He left us a couple of years ago. But when he was on the ice in the heyday of the team that made him famous, he didn't do a lot of scoring. He beat the crap out of a lot of guys because that was his job.
I'm probably going to miss this one. Would it be Dave Semenko?
You didn't miss, buddy. Congratulations. Okay. You got it. I basically gave it away, but yeah. I don't know. I just, that's the thing, that the clues just keep coming until you finally get it. Dave Semenko, any thoughts about him?
Oh, his Leaf career was storied. He takes a lot of heat for being the bodyguard of Wayne Gretzky, but really the bodyguard of Wayne Gretzky was the NHL because of the way that they, you know, you could not touch Wayne Gretzky. And if you did, you know, and there was a Leaf player, Bill McCreary,
yeah,
not the referee, but who hit Wayne Gretzky in a game in the early 80s, and his career was basically over with after that. I don't know
Wayne Gretzky did not play free and clear. That was one of the worst eras for clutching and grabbing and beatings and savage play. He was not absolutely. That was Matthews and McDavid and those guys playing in that era. Now these are bigger players playing in that era, wouldn't have that much fun.
No, I mean, and you know, Mario Lemieux took a lot more abuse than Gretzky because Lemieux was a bigger player. But Gretzky, I'm not saying he was coddled. I mean, people went after him, but you did see that superstar BS that I hate in the NBA and in some aspects in the NHL, where if you touch a guy, you get called. And then of course it doesn't apply the other way. Some, I think it was Dan Shulman, posted a picture on Twitter last night of the line of sight between Carey Fraser and the Gilmore Gretzky, when Gretzky high-sticked Gilmore. And it was, he was looking right
F-U-C-K.
At it, and he
F-U-C-K.
Didn't call it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We should just shut this whole thing down because I'm totally pissed off about that. I remember that, Mike. I remember that. We all do. Let's take a moment.
Can I just vent on this? Like, I understand in this era right now of, you know, lack of programming that places like the NHL Network or NBCSN in the States are going to show classic games. Could you please find another game other than Game 7 of 2013? Because in the last 2 weeks, I've seen it 3 times. Stick it. I don't need to see it again.
The sadists. Okay, here's a question for the OGs and converts in community. Okay? What classic Leaf game do you want to see? If we could put that up on the YouTube channel, or you could watch Leafs TV or Sportsnet, TSN, the NHL Network, Squibbly Network in the U.S. somewhere, I don't know. What classic Leafs game would you want to see? Let us know inside community. All right, final forgotten Leaf, Mike. He played for the Leafs over the span of about 3 seasons from 77 to 80. A whopping 64 games total. Played defense, an American. Also played for the Minnesota North Stars. And he didn't know at the time, nor did anyone associated with the Leafs, that his prominence and his infamy with the organization would rise to another level in decades later. Not as a player.
Yeah, would that be from Providence College? Ron Wilson.
Ronnie Wilson. What a legend. What comes to mind when you think of Ron Wilson as head coach of the Maple Leafs? So what do you was there a moment that sticks out for you as being amazing or terrible or a bit of both?
Ron Wilson got in trouble for the stupidest things, like putting up a bounty for when the Leafs went to San Jose and then it getting out. And I believe he got fined for that, or going on the Fan 590 radio and saying that he would love to have this, you know, the Leafs to sign the Sedins, which it was June 29th or June 30th. And that was basically tampering, because there was no 5-day window at that point. So he just got in trouble for stuff that was just dumb. I mean, he wasn't a bad coach. He didn't have a lot to work with, but I think actually Randy Carlyle was a better coach and a better fit. Ron Wilson, I mean, he tried, he put up his best, but he was not, he just didn't fit.
He guided the 10-11 Maple Leafs to a 37-34-11 record. A 5.18 winning percentage.
Mm.
So better days were ahead. He took over for Paul Maurice, and Randy Carlyle took over for Ron Wilson. Those were the days, my friend. Any last words? We got to go.
Yeah, let me just add this. I wrote about this yesterday. There was a report from Igor Aronko, a Russian reporter who I follow and respect, and also Darren Drager, regarding a Russian import who may be coming to the NHL, Alexander Barabanov. He's a 25 going on 26 year old winger who's played I think parts of 6 or 7 seasons with SKA St. Petersburg. Skilled, you know, 5'9", 190 pounds, one of the best skaters in the KHL. He's been on the Leafs radar since even going back to last October, when Elliot Friedman mentioned him in 31 Thoughts. Now, there are a lot of teams that are interested. He's represented by Daniel Milstein, who is the agent for Ilya Mikheyev and former Leaf Nikita Zaitsev and Igor Ozaganov. So there is a good working relationship with Milstein. And if you remember, when Mikheyev got injured, he was very complimentary with the way the Leafs were attentive to Mikheyev in New Jersey, especially Dubas staying there for three or four days while he was in the hospital. That goes a long way, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be a Leaf, but he sounds like an intriguing possibility. And we know that with the Leafs and their cap situation, to get a Russian player who could be a contributor making less than $1 million for a year or two would be a good get. So we'll have to be on the lookout for that.
You're my man. Talk to you soon. And stay safe and healthy, okay?